This is an MUT Radio podcast.
About your academic and research journey at Wangosuthu University of Technology.
Well, good day, Prof. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat about some of the work that we've been doing at the Center for Algal Biotechnology. First of all, I'm Dr. Devarshan Naidu. I'm a researcher at the Center for Algal Biotechnology and also a lecturer in the Department of Nature Conservation. Let me tell you a little bit about the center. The center is led by Professor Akash Anandraj, who has been a really, really, really great mentor throughout my time at MUT. He is one of those visionary leaders who wants our research to be impactful on a global scale. So the mission of the Center for Algal Biotechnology is to unlock and harness the sustainable potential of algal resources in order to address critical challenges associated with food security, with environmental health, as well as the bioeconomy. So within the center, we have projects that range from drug discovery and development through to biofuels, as well as climate change. And our vision is to establish MUT as a leading hub for multi-omics algal research in South Africa.
Dr. Naidu, when did you join Wangosuthu University of Technology as an academic? That's the first question. But also, I note that you are an NRF-rated researcher. Please also tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I completed my undergraduate as well as my postgraduate studies at the University of KwaZulu-Natal in Pietermaritzburg, my master's was upgraded to a PhD, and I completed that in 2017. I then did a postdoctoral fellowship at UKZN, and I joined MUT in 2019. As a researcher at the center. This gave me the independence that I needed to conduct my own research within MUT. And this allowed me to develop as a researcher so that I could apply for that rating. And fortunately, I received the rating in 2023. So I'm recognized as a Y2 rated researcher.
Congratulations on that. Can you also tell us about some of the achievements by the center?
Well, over the recent years, we've significantly improved our infrastructure as well as our output. Notably, I can talk about the fact that from our little lab in the North Campus, we were able to produce jet fuel. This was part of Dr. Joseph Bapua's PhD work, where he converted microalgal lipids and fatty acids into actual jet fuel that could be used in the aviation industry. I could also talk about we theorized computational models for the development of an antiviral from a cyanobacteria. This was cyanovirin N. We showed that it was capable of targeting the spike glycoprotein of SARS-CoV-2, which is obviously the agent that was responsible for the COVID-19 pandemic. And this was also later proven in an in vitro assay. In addition to this, we've established really strong collaborations with some of our partners at local as well as international universities, like the Columbia University in New York, as well as the University of the Western Cape, Stellenbosch University as well. And this has contributed significantly to our successes over the years.
Dr. Naidu, how do you have any postgraduate students?
Certainly we do. Within the Department of Nature Conservation, we host a postgraduate diploma in nature conservation as well as a master's program in nature conservation.
Dr. Naidu, do you have any collaborators? Do you have any researchers that you publish with or that you co-supervise postgraduate students with?
Yes, certainly we have collaborators at several institutes in South Africa. as well as abroad. I've established a really strong collaboration with the Asian University for Women in Bangladesh, where we do a lot of our collaborative work. In addition to this, I think, you know, a lot of people would think that nature conservation and computational biology are two separate worlds, but in actual fact, they are largely interconnected. And I facilitate the postgraduate research activities within the Department for Nature Conservation. And I teach my students to look beyond the surface level and try to look at the microscopic level to try to identify solutions to current nature conservation challenges.
Thank you very much. And how does your work in bioinformatics tie in with your lecturing role in the Department of Nature Conservation?
Well, perhaps I could talk about the philosophy. The Russian philosopher Fyodor Dostoevsky, in his novel, wrote, love all God's creation. You know, love the whole and every grain of sand, love the leaves, love every ray of God's light, love the animals, love the plants, love everything. Mm-hmm. And I tie this in with what Baba Diom famously stated. He said that in the end, we will conserve only what we love. Mm-hmm. We will love only what we understand, and we will understand only what we are taught. So by teaching students to use modern bioinformatics tools, we are empowering them to decode the variety of genetic diversity around us, so that we can get a better idea of population health, of evolutionary histories, and we can try to piece together what exactly it is that we need to begin to do to conserve the biodiversity around us. And I think that's very important.
Thank you very much. And as a Y-rated researcher, what are some of the biggest hurdles a young South African scientist faces when trying to secure funding? And what is the secret to winning a grant proposal?
I think, you know, it's difficult, you know, within these economic times, as well as with constrained national budgets. I think it's important to be able to stand out, because we are competing with established labs, established researchers. And I think what's important, apart from sound scientific rigor, is the ability to highlight the impact of your research, you know, aligning it to national priorities, aligning it to sustainable development goals. I think if we can do that very well, then it would be very difficult for Rivia to reject your research.
Similarly, what are some of the advantages of being a young scientist in South Africa?
Well, I think I mentioned the vastness of the biodiversity in South Africa. And in addition to this, we also have an abundance of indigenous knowledge systems. And I think we now have the tools in terms of the multi-omics that we need to exploit in order to explore these indigenous knowledge systems. And I think young people are at an advantage because we have access to these technologies. In addition to this, I think there are also several university programs and mentorship programs, as well as initiatives like the Future Professors Program, mm-hmm. that are designed to catapult young researchers into advanced leadership roles. And at this level, they can really challenge the status quo.
And as we conclude this conversation, what are your future plans as a young scientist at MUT?
Well, my future plans are aligned closely with MUT's Strategic Plan 2030. I'm hoping to establish a research unit of my own dealing with multi-omics and bioinformatics. And I also want to develop new programs, new courses and programs targeted towards these fields, so that students have another option at MUT as well.
Thank you very much for your time, Dr. Naidu. I wish you all the best. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to an end to the end of our conversation. Until next time, goodbye.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.